Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland's favorite morning roast.
I was listening to the boys this morning.
It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
They've got really good meat. They got great meat.
Dirt and Sprague.
No, dude, get right to the meat.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. If you missed the show right out of the gate, it started with a
180.
Because it is a football Friday.
We got a little different energy right now. It's starting
There's a pep in my step.
It's starting to percolate.
I have not pepped my step like this in quite some time. It feels fantastic. I don't have to talk about the NBA playoffs anymore. Football season is right around the corner. And brother, let me tell you, as somebody who has a baseball team who was eliminated 6 months ago, I am over the moon excited for the return of football season. Watched a lot of it last night. We will talk about that. A little bit later on in the show, we'll have some highlights for you here in a moment in the cafe. And welcome on in, everybody. Hello. Yes. Welcome in. Your table is ready. Here's what we're going to do today. Why don't you go ahead and walk on over to the Build Your Own Omelet station. What kind of omelet are we in the mood for today? As you walk down the line, what are we throwing in that bad boy?
As I walk down the line, feeling like some seafood.
Maybe a little seafood omelet. Okay.
Florentine, where I have the spinach and the Swiss cheese and the shrimp. And then maybe a little clump of fresh Dungeness crab right on top.
Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah.
With a little half of a slice of a, yeah.
That sounds good. The Ducks released some of their, they're doing that, camp, documentary kind of thing they released last night. And a lot of it, the episode that they released yesterday was when the team went to Japan. Let me ask you, would you be able to do this? So they were walking around different markets in Japan. Obviously, seafood is very big over there. And there was they got to this, food hut kind of thing. I don't know how to explain it. But essentially, they had what looked like a 150-pound tuna just on a table.
Yeah.
And a guy just takes out a giant knife, cuts off the fin, cuts off this fin,
slices
it open, and they're literally just cutting pieces out of this tuna and handing it to people and eating it. You're all about it?
Yeah. One of the best dishes I had during the whole European trip was pistachio tuna tartare.
Ooh. Fantastic.
So good.
One point, by the way, too, because we're getting questions on it and people are getting excited about my responses at the text line. We are spraking the line today.
Yes.
People are asking, are we doing it? You bet your ass
we're
doing it.
Yeah, we told you. Okay? We need reps.
We're doing it. We got to get our reps in. 503.
That also triggered me. I got to go find, I will pay off my bet at some point this fall. I need to go find the squirrel furry.
None of us have done that yet. That we've all dropped the ball on that because we've all. Yeah.
Well, I found one at one point, and I never ordered it because we were like, okay, we need to plan this sort of thing.
We weren't sure.
I just need to do it.
Because Sprague lost year one. Yes. I lost 2 years ago.
We were going to caddy and do the thing, and then that
never happened.
Never happened. Yeah. So
that's a good reminder we need a furry day on the show before football season
begins. Unless you're
going to
make it happen.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah.
Waverly, you want to put us up for a day? Let us go.
Oh, you know what will make sense? No. Because our boy Hoover is...
Yes.
Indiana.
He's a furry.
All right. We need to find. They're not playing the Ducks, though, this year.
No, they are not. We could maybe do it the
day.
They
play Ohio State.
The day we Indiana preview on the Dirty Pole, we could try. Well, actually, that's kind of a quick turnaround.
No, we need to give time because I'm guessing those things are going to take 4 to 6 weeks for delivery or something like that.
We'll see if we can get to it.
Schwarber with a shot out to the corner and right. Keisha back, and it's gone. What a way to open the ball game. Corn-fueled Schwarber.
That was a Field of Dream game last night. That was the first batter of the game. It was Kyle Schwarber, and he went yard into the corn. He ended up hitting two home runs into the corn. He was the MVP of the corn game.
Well, the second home run got a little assist from the right fielder.
Yes, it did. And the Phillies ended up winning the game last night. Did we consume any Field of Dreams content last night?
No, but that's simply because I was working the hops. I think.
Let me ask you this: had you been home, would you have watched it?
Yes, that would have been on a screen.
Okay, it was on Netflix, so you didn't. You would have had a multi-screen if you wanted to watch other things at the same time.
The Dodgers didn't play till late.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
God, you're miserable. Absolutely miserable.
I was fine for eight innings.
God. Not now. We're talking about the Netflix game.
No, I would have. That would have been on a screen. Yeah, that, so and I probably would have had then the NFL preseason, and I probably would sound would have gone back and forth.
I was just the streaming thing sucks because you can't quad box it on one TV.
Yeah,
and needing a secondary screen for that—that's the only downside of it for me.
But no, and what Mattingly? I thought Mattingly got a raw deal with the Dodgers 100 years ago when he was the manager before they brought Roberts in.
Yeah.
He was made a scapegoat, and I didn't think he deserved it.
Right.
He had to suffer through a lot of the Frank McCourt nonsense.
Him having this year with Philly is kind of fun, man.
It's awesome. And if they...
I'm going to root for him to win.
I don't know if they can hunt down the Braves in the division.
Probably not, but they'll be they're in the mix
so
for a wild card going around.
I think he'll be in consideration with Murphy for NL Manager of the Year. If Boston can find a way to keep this rolling, I don't know how you don't give it to Chad Tracy.
Yeah, in the American League.
But what he's done with that lineup, keeping Schwarber in the leadoff, they acquired a rise, and even everybody's like, okay, he's an average hitter. He's got him in the cleanup spot.
It's very interesting.
Because you have, Harper and Turner and Schwarber. How often are one of those guys on? So he's often coming up with an out or two outs in an inning with
guys on base.
You
need a guy with a single. Yeah, get on base.
I need a guy to keep the inning going, and it's brilliant. And that offense is going to be a nightmare to deal with in the playoffs.
They are easily in the National League. The Brewers would be fun. I shouldn't say easily. The Brewers probably number two. You know I'm not rooting for your team. I don't want Sprague to win another one. He got one. He's fine. I think I'm rooting. The Phillies won, Brewers two is my rooting interest in the National League because I'm with you on Mattingly. I want Mattingly to win one. He seems like a genuinely good dude. I didn't watch. I did not flip over to Netflix to watch it, but I did see a lot of the highlights and scrolled through some of the content. The aesthetics of it is always great. I thought it was ridiculously dumb for them to schedule it the same night that the NFL preseason kicks off, and I don't know what scheduling snafu led to that. Play it 2 weeks ago. Like, what are we doing here? Have it be the first game after the All-Star break or something. Like, find a way to make it stand out a little bit more.
Yep.
And then it's on Netflix, so it's kind of buried on top of that. So I imagine the ratings information
that
will come out
thing about that
will
game,
be really bad.
That game needs to be on one of your big networks.
If it was on Fox last night, I would have watched. If it was on national television.
That's a game you want people to trip over when they're channel surfing.
Yes. So that was kind of a bummer. They had a cool moment where they brought a ton of legends of baseball out, and they all walked out through the corn. And so they do. I mean, it's a really cool display. It makes it feel nostalgic.
Now that they've made that facility more permanent and there's infrastructure and stuff that's built up around it, it is taking away a little bit from the nostalgia feel.
Yeah, you see the corn when the home runs hit, but other than that, it does. It's much more modern than it was. It's not a little bleacher, like kind of like it was in year one.
Water up!
DJ is in five. A situation that was promised to him in recruiting here, for him to sign here, and urge on that with the family and the representatives and the people. And so really, I didn't have a decision to make. It was promised to the kid. It wasn't done for whatever. I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to judge something that I wasn't here of. But when a kid's promised something to come to school, he should wear it. And so at that point, I don't really think that's my decision. Should be honored what he was told. And so that's where I'm at.
I love that is Lane Kiffin yesterday.
Now look, Lane brings a lot of crap on himself.
He does. This is not his fault.
He inherited this mess. I think that's all he can do because he wants to keep this kid on his roster to try to win this year.
DJ Pickett's a stud.
I don't know that he has any relationship with Jaden Daniels.
Nor should he.
He doesn't care.
No.
That's a Jaden Daniels problem.
It is.
I will back Lane on this.
Oh, absolutely. I love the idea that they are going into such a pressure-packed season. Like, all the eyes of the sport, all this money that they've spent, the portal haul they have.
Week three or four,
you get early the Ole Miss game, right out of the gate, right? You start with Clemson, which I don't really know what to make of Clemson. Maybe you win, maybe you don't.
Well, like, that's just a bunch of nobodies.
They're a bunch of nobodies, but
Dabo.
They damn near lost that game last year, and now both teams ended up having the seasons that they wanted to have. Point just simply being, Clemson is certainly capable of beating them. So all of these expectations and the pressure on LSU, and what is he having to answer questions on 3 weeks before camps or the
Who's
season
wearing
begins?
Number five.
Why is your top corner wearing number five, and why is your Heisman Trophy quarterback or not? Your, but the program's Heisman Trophy winning quarterback sending a cease and desist to the school. it seems like there's probably been
Jalen Daniels is going to lose this.
Yeah, like this,
in many ways.
Not many things in the sports world in 2026 create a 98% one-side argument being made.
Right.
I'm sure there's the one or two outliers out there who want to stand out like a unicorn who are defending Jaden Daniels here almost unanimously to a person. Everybody saw this and thought, what?
What is your problem?
What? And then also Burrow's being treated differently. Like, yeah, he won a national championship. He had maybe the greatest season we've ever seen from a college quarterback. Burrow was asked about this, and he was like, They asked him, did they tell you nobody would wear number 9? And he said, yeah, they told me that, but I, you know. He was just kind of like, we're on to whoever we're playing.
But he's
next.
Like, I don't know if anybody who told me that's still there.
I have no idea, man.
Governor's running
that
university.
That was three head coaches ago, man. That was a bit of time ago.
Order up. Sermon wearing the captain's armbands. Diego Char been given a rest today. Good ball into the box. Kelce on his own rebound. Not there. It is Anthony instead. Havoc in the sixth to the Timbers. Delighted Anthony gets on the board as the Timbers go up 2-1 in the 64th.
Suck it, Tijuana.
Yeah.
Is that we got a dub last night?
Got the dub 3-1. It's a result.
A result last night was 3-1.
It's an educational process.
Now we have the new kit man took over.
So yes, Marty Cifuentes.
He is our new guy.
And the boys came up big in the second half for him with a 3-1 victory.
We're undefeated in the era?
The Cifuentes era.
Okay.
However, due to the crazy nature of this particular event, the loss to Club America last weekend cost them the ability to continue in the knockout round.
So got it.
There's a ton of teams in group play and
whittles down to a small
whittles
number.
Down. There's just four MLS teams and four Liga MX teams that advanced to the knockout.
Okay.
So the Timbers didn't get there, but they scored.
That's a good sign, right?
The most goals of any MLS team. They had 9 goals.
Look at us.
And they scored in every match.
Are we an offensive juggernaut now? Wasn't that our issue at the start of the year?
Know.
We don't have enough offense?
Maybe interim coach Jack Cassidy unlocked it.
We've found some things here a little bit. We got some momentum cooking.
So, yeah. So now it's back to MLS play. They start this Sunday in Chicago against the Fire.
Okay.
Who's one of the better teams in the league this year.
Yeah, suck at Chicago.
So that'll be a Sunday matinee for you right here on The Fan.
There you go. Welcome back to the MLS scheduled Timbers. Nice little run. And Tijuana, suck it.
Hi, my name's Samuel Henderson, and I do bird call. The Hawks' schedule just dropped today, so I'm going to do their opponents as birds. The rock pigeon. Bald eagle. The herring gull. American crow. Canada goose. The American flamingo. Common loon.
That's his best one.
That's elite right there.
The American white pelican. The northern cardinal. And next, the king penguin. Well, thanks for watching. Go Hawks!
Yesterday, it was NBA schedule release day. We'll get to the Blazers schedule here coming up in a little bit. And we'll talk to, by the way, Eric Gunderson in the final hour of the show about that and the city stuff. And we love having Gundy on, so we thought we'd bring him on. He'll be on at 9:05 this morning. So NBA teams, I don't remember this has always been a thing, but we do this in the NFL with our schedule release videos, and the teams do it with their social media accounts.
Yeah, it hasn't become as much of a thing in the NBA, but there's but I think it will be. The difficult thing is, like for the NFL, you only have 17 games.
It's a lot easier to
do. And you only have 14 opponents because
you're
playing your division guys twice. So you can...
It's easier to do.
You can...
This one, it's even in the... So this was the Hawks schedule release video, and they're basically having them do a bird for every... And they didn't even do every team, right? Like there wasn't a Portland bird. So they just kind of picked and
What bird do you do for the Trailblazers?
I don't know.
What do you do for the Thunder?
Would you go to... You'd have to just go to like the city, right? Would you not?
Something native.
What bird
to
are we
area?
Most known for?
I believe the state bird is a western meadowlark.
Okay.
That's a Papa Swag.
That is a Papa Swag fact right there.
That there.
The western meadowlark. You are correct. That is our official songbird of the state.
Thank you.
Chosen by school children in 1927.
There you go.
What do these kids know?
We didn't have TikTok in 27. we were out bird watching in 27.
The Osprey is the official state raptor. All right, so we could have done a Western Meadowlark bird
there. You could have done that.
You could have gone that route if you wanted
to. The loon, which was for the Minnesota Timberwolves, that was the best
one by
far.
It's elite, dude. This kid is all over the place,
man. That was fantastic.
Great call by Atlanta to bring him
in. I'm assuming Sprague saw that somewhere and smiled and chuckled while he was having a beverage, having his morning.
Atlanta Hawks, well done.
Brew.
I didn't see all the – we'll get to the Blazers in a minute. They did a cool thing as well.
Well, the Blazers, it was just Dame draining threes. So the whole trick to that one was it was one take.
Yeah.
They just put the camera above the rim and he kept going and
let him drain, man.
And you had to like pay attention and look up in the corner to see every time he made one it flipped to a different team.
That was probably the best one though that I saw. The bird call kid. Any bird call kid content out there I will go find. And let's close up the restaurant this morning.
Order up.
I apologize. I'm sorry ahead of time, okay? But it's back. Whether you like it or not.
Woo! This is our coach. This is our team, we bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Pats, Mayday is going down. This is our team, go Colts!
First off, that is Seth DeFlo Erskins, I believe is how you say his name, our Colts friend who does these videos.
Now, was that specific for, did they play the Pats last night?
They played the Pats last night. This is preseason song number one.
We're in full gear mode.
This is our team.
I know. I love the eye black and the headset.
First off, I feel like his nay at the end has gotten stronger. That's a heavy hitting nay right there.
He's got the little tube, I think, that he's going
got the auto tune
from. Yeah, the auto tune.
He's become an auto tune.
That'd be better if it was like the Joe Walsh actual tube you blow into back from the late 70s. Exactly.
Give you some of that
as opposed to all digitized.
Oh man, look, we're just excited to have football back. Our Colts anthem. We got a Colts P1. They played last night. We will get to Anthony Richardson in a little bit.
Do we already have QB controversy in Pittsburgh.
We might have QB controversy. In Pittsburgh. Uh-oh. Rodgers is looking over his shoulder.
What are we doing here?
The Colts anthem is back. Preseason football is back. There is your cafe. I hope you enjoyed your build-your-own omelet this morning. And please leave a tip for your waiter and waitresses, okay? Let's see. Where are we going to go from here? Let's go to Who the Hell Did We Piss Off, Man? That's next on The Fam.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 7:25 on your Football Friday. Hello, everybody. Hope your days are off to a good start.
Epa!
Got a lot to get to in the show. We will dive into our preseason football takeies coming up at the top of the hour. Don't worry, I got them. Quarterback controversies, good players, bad players. The takeaways are here from night one of preseason football. That's how excited we are. We'll get to that coming up.
I think there's one universal thing, conclusion we can come to.
Okay, we'll see what that is coming up at the top of the hour. Yesterday, though, we mentioned on the show, we knew it was happening, and in the middle of the day, we got the drop, the news drop, that is the Portland Trailblazers schedule. Now, everybody in the NBA found out the regular season schedule yesterday, and it's always fun to take a gander at. I do love the idea, and we do this in every sport, right? We do this in the NFL. Well, that's a hard schedule. That's an easy schedule. It's like, well, we don't really know how good or bad teams are going to be. So that's the difficulty of it, because you can look at it and say, oh my God, this is ridiculously challenging, and then, you know, a key player on one of these teams tears their ACL and everything changes and it doesn't become that complicated of a game anymore. Of note, the things that I always look for when a schedule comes out is how often do you play and what are the stretches you have to play the heavy hitters in the league, right? So in the West, mainly Oklahoma City and San Antonio. So where do those games kind of fall on your schedule? And we'll get to that in a moment. The other thing is, and you've been using this in your updates today, Swag, is the number of nationally televised games that you're going to have.
They are smack dab in the middle of the league.
Kind of where they should be, right?
Should be.
Playoff team last year.
You're
John Morant's interesting.
Featured, we know. Yeah. Opening week, Christmas Day, MLK Day, you know, those sorts of things.
But the rest of it, like, you should be about halfway through the league in terms of rankings of nationally televised games. So that's ESPN, Prime, and NBC, the different partners that the NBA has. The interesting thing that I did note from their nationally televised games. Now, these are also flexible, right? Can't they flex the NBA schedule as the year goes on?
Usually,
technically?
I would say the first half, so before the All-Star break.
Pretty set.
Those aren't going to change unless something weird happens.
Right, but in the second half of the year.
Second half of the year, they can look ahead and say, eh.
You deserve more or you deserve less, right? Could go either way.
Yeah, the ESPN ones are more likely to be flexed out of than the NBC ones.
Yes, agree with you there.
Because that 8 p.m., especially the 8 p.m. West Coast late time slot, which they're sticking with.
Yes. Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a ridiculous idea by NBC. I don't know what's worse. Fox deciding to put big college football games at 9 o'clock in the morning, or NBC thinking that anybody wants to start a basketball game on a Tuesday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like both of those are horrendous ideas.
I don't know.
And whoever decided
now, I will say we aren't used to this on the West Coast. It is commonplace to get stuff
on the East Coast.
In the East Coast, even 9:30.
If I wanted that, I'd move to the East Coast.
Exactly.
That's the benefit of living on the West Coast, is I can watch everything in a timely manner.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting about the national television schedule, they have 11 games on national television. I believe, according to my horrible counting, because I'm not good at math, I think 7 of the 11 are home games.
Let's see.
In my quick scroll through, it seemed like
the first couple
were on the road. And then they go on kind of a long bunch stretch where the majority of the games I felt like were in Portland. So seven of the 11.
Seven of the 11 will be here.
That's notable to me because
seven of them are on NBC, the late night ones.
The 8 o'clock games, which suck and they're horrible for us because then you're coming in, you know, the game ends.
Now, the other thing, too, is if Portland all of a sudden figures something out and all of the things fall into place and we have multiple guys that can make threes.
Wait, we got shooters? Is that what you're telling me?
We got shooters.
We got shooters this year?
ESPN could pick up a few of those at the end. They play Houston 3 times in the final 2 weeks of the season.
Yes. And that's one of those things, like, right now, you look at and say, okay, that's a tough game, but we also don't know what Houston's going to be, or that's, you know, that could be a difficult stretch, but we just don't know what they're going to look like next year. So that was an initial takeaway. The other takeaway is just how difficult the run is out of the gate. So you open with Phoenix at home on Wednesday, October 21st.
Your first couple of games, Phoenix at Sacramento, Memphis comes to town. You better win those three.
Yes.
I think Phoenix is a coin toss. You're at home. It's opening night. You should get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, Memphis should be a winnable game. Sacramento should be a winnable game.
That's your jaw revenge game.
Your jaw revenge.
And Sacramento's awful.
Sacramento
stinks.
They are terrible.
You better beat Sacramento.
But then it's noted of just the lengths of the road trips and how many of them you have.
Then it gets serious very quickly.
You have multiple 6-game road trips or longer before you even get to the end of the calendar year.
Yep.
So you have a first a roadie where you go Utah, Denver, Phoenix, LA, and then you have your first long roadie where you go Sacramento, Minnesota back-to-back, Milwaukee, New York, and Philadelphia. That's right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So there's two games you might be favored in, at Sacramento and at Milwaukee.
Both of those you should
Milwaukee's
be. The other ones
a crap
are tough.
Shoot. The only thing about Milwaukee is it's in the middle of a big East Coast road trip, and you probably just got the snot beat out of you by Minnesota twice.
Milwaukee might win that game.
Milwaukee should stink.
Milwaukee's going to be terrible.
But
this year,
if you lose that game, that's a schedule. They always go, where are your schedule losses?
Yes. And then you come home for a little stretch, and then you go on the road again, basically 2.5 weeks later to Indiana, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Boston, Washington, Detroit before coming back. And so it's kind of a unique schedule where you have these long road trips early on in the season. You have a stretch pretty quickly where you play San Antonio on a Saturday night, and then Oklahoma City comes to town for a back-to-back on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
That's the rough part. You go on the road.
And then it's a long roadie.
Then you have those three games at home. Then you have a long roadie.
So it just the takeaway it felt like from a lot of folks was, man, if you can get out of the gate, okay.
You have a mismatched roster. You have all of this other tumult going on with your arena and your new owner and what's going on with the future of the team. Like, if Mike Gnora can't figure it out and have a system and something.
Yeah.
Now, you do have veterans, so hopefully they can go from concept to court quicker than if you got a bunch of rookies who need to go work it out for a while.
You got some vets there. You got some guys. I mean, the four-guard lineup thing, right? We joke about it, and it doesn't make any sense. But when you got all these games, you know, jammed
well,
into a small
in the season,
schedule
when
window.
When dude's legs are good, and hopefully you're
get out and run,
all
man.
You've been doing in the summer in the gym is conditioning and shooting.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's a way to handle it, maybe help it, make it a little bit easier. I did have, though, so the video was great. They released a video on the schedule. It was Dame just knocking down a bunch of threes. And it was funny to see the people who acknowledge, like, I didn't even really realize what I was watching, because if you don't look closely, the schedule's popping up in the back of the screen.
Yeah.
Every time he makes a three, the
flips
team
to another
changes.
Team and the dates.
The dates that you're playing them. And so it was a good idea by the Blazer marketing team. It's just Dame draining three. It was kind of mesmerizing to watch. I think I watched it like three times. You're like, God, guy won't miss. And that it got me excited again for him being back and how's he going to impact the team. The other thing, and I kind of went on this rant with college football yesterday. All of the off-the-field stuff sucks, and it's all we talk about in the offseason, and the legislation right. and conferences, and it's a nauseating conversation. And then the season kicks off, and you're like, God, that's why I love this sport. I love college football, the pageantry and all that. I know that the arena stuff, and we'll get to that here in a moment, because we had an update on that story yesterday. I know that that will hang over the season until we get a concrete answer on a lease extension. It was the other part of it for me yesterday, seeing the schedule. Like, we can come at it from different angles of you think they're going to win X amount of games, or I'm higher on them in this area, or whatever the case. We can have our different opinions on it. Getting just back to being able to talk about basketball is something that I am extremely excited for. And the schedule allowed me a moment to look at it and say, all right, let's see what they're playing, when the game's going to fall, where are the easy stretches, the hard stretches, and just think about it from a basketball standpoint and not have my Blazer brain be simply on, are they going to be the Kalamazoo Kazoos and we're losing our team because Tom Dundon is a evil billionaire. Yeah. So that was a fun reminder of, like, all of this is around the corner and I'm excited for it. And the Blazers are going to have 11 nationally televised games. I'm not a huge fan of the 8 p.m. games. Those suck. They're way too late on Tuesday nights. But I do prefer when they play nationally televised games that they're at home. There's something about it being at home is kind of nice, to like showcase our fans and get people to watch and kind of know what we got going
on.
And
they're getting – those games are getting the best opponents.
Yes.
So at home you have Oklahoma City, Denver, T-Wolves. But I don't know what the Clippers are going to be.
Right.
Houston.
Right.
Clippers. Yeah.
In the breakdown of nationally televised games, in a not shocking development,
the Knicks.
The four teams tied atop the league for the most nationally televised games. I'm pretty sure everybody could probably guess the majority of them.
The Knicks, the Sixers.
Yep.
The Spurs.
Yep.
And now this is interesting. I'm wondering.
You got to balance the schedule here. You got two East and one West, so it's got to be another West team.
I guess it would be the Lakers.
Yes, it is the Lakers. They all have 34 nationally televised games this year.
Because they're still the Lakers, even though LeBron's not there.
And it's Luka.
Luka.
Yeah, he's a draw. I get it. It's the Lakers. The Lakers will always be that. Whether they're good or bad, they're going to be on national television. So the 76ers, Knicks, Lakers, and Spurs all have 34. The Thunder, is nobody given the Thunder a chance this year? They're down at only 30. Nuggets, 28. The Warriors thing we got to stop doing. Like, that needs to be, we need to take that out back and put it out of its misery. You didn't do anything in the offseason. You have Jimmy Butler coming back at some point off of an ACL. Draymond's,
how much longer does Steph have on his deal? Is this it, or does he have another year?
They've had some very interesting conversations publicly and privately about, like, didn't their owner come out and say, we're now planning on the post, like, we have to start thinking about post-Steph?
They do!
Which you do, but also, I don't know, if you're Steph, that's kind of a weird thing to hear. He is an unrestricted free agent after this season.
Yeah.
So, just something to keep in mind. They're just not good anymore. And it's okay to say that. Steph is still fun to watch.
Steph's
I don't mind
great.
Them being on national television a handful of times. But having the sixth most, like, what are the Timberwolves should be on national TV more than them. That's
way more.
Like, Anthony Edwards is a great watch, and the Timberwolves have been to two conference finals in the last 3 years. They've been a really good team, and they've been close, knocking on the door. They just can't get over the hump.
Yeah.
The Warriors were borderline, almost didn't make the play-in last year. The only reason they were the 10 seed was because we had a generational tank off at the bottom of the Western
Charlotte
Conference.
Charlotte should be on more.
Yes, they absolutely should. I just
if you're the Hornets, and you've got all these young dudes, and I don't know what sort of emotional ties you might be able with Del Curry. Could you lure Steph for the last couple years of his
Makes sense.
deal?
I'd try it if I were them.
put us over the top.
To that point, do you know how many teams have fewer nationally televised games than the Charlotte Hornets, who, by the way, were a playoff team last year?
I would think...
Play-in or playoff? Did they make the playoffs? They made the playoffs, right?
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, they won the play-in, didn't they? They beat Miami. Yeah. They're
okay, Sacramento.
The Kings... No, the Kings have more than them.
Are you kidding?
Not kidding.
It must be fodder for other teams then.
I don't get it. You brought up the Hornets, and I was shocked.
The Wizards?
At where they showed up.
No, the Wizards are going to get more.
The Wizards are tied with the Hornets. Tied.
Who else is god-awful? Who's New Orleans.
Nope, New Orleans has more.
Oh, my God. What are you doing, NBA?
I'm genuinely shocked by this. I scrolled down to the bottom of the list. There are only three teams in the NBA who have fewer nationally televised games than the Charlotte Hornets this year.
Now, Toronto, but they might have
Toronto's more. They have seven. The Hornets only have six nationally televised games on their schedule.
That's criminal.
Which is just, I mean, some people probably don't care about it. They trade a ball, whatever, but it's just unique to me. Bulls, three. The Nets, two.
Yeah, Brooklyn's.
And the Bucks, two. Those are the only teams in the NBA.
You want to talk about the team that's fallen off the cliff, Milwaukee.
Yes. Nobody wants to watch Milwaukee.
No.
Nor
thanks.
Will they want to for years to come.
It was nice to know
you. See you later. You got a championship out of it. I wouldn't be crying over spilt milk. The Jazz are also tied at six. The Wizards and the Hornets, they all have six. That is tied for fourth.
The Jazz, don't go to sleep on the Jazz.
Yeah, now, they're going to be one of those teams.
They were
this
seriously tanking last year, but they had injuries and whatever. Now they're going to put it all together. They're not going to be as bad. Phoenix will be an interesting group. They still have Devin Booker. So who knows what to expect from them. They're going to be a team where, if you show up and play. And
there's a lot of wild cards in the Western Conference this year.
Cards.
What is Houston going to get from KD again this year? Like, do they find more offense? Will Utah actually take a step, or are they just kind of a paper tiger? Dallas and Cooper Flagg and Kyrie Irving?
I expect Dallas to be better.
Expect them to be better. How does that look?
When's Kyrie coming back?
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, L.A., does the Kawhi trade get blown up?
The Clippers, I have no idea.
No feeling on.
They got to rule something. They got to do something.
It just keeps going on. NBA hasn't wrapped up their investigation
yet. I didn't have a set scheduled, all right, 10:45, I'm going to have a cup of coffee, Adam Silver, and I'm calling the law firm to find out when I'm getting the report. And then I'm going to call them at 4:45 before I close the office for the day. Right. When's my damn report?
I'd imagine the Toronto Raptors are doing that too, because their success next year is pretty contingent on that trade fully going through.
Like, they're getting two calls a day. Where is my damn report?
Figure it out. The Blazers schedule is out. Seems like they pissed somebody off at the league office. We'll talk more about that coming up with our buddy Eric Gunderson in the final hour of the show. Just get his general thoughts. Also want to ask him about, he's done a lot of digging on some of the finances of the team and kind of where they rank. Dwayne Hankins has been on this, help us rapport argument towards the city, which I know some of the numbers haven't been good, but Gundy's basically saying some of that's not accurate. And so I'm going to talk to him about that. We'll get into the schedule coming up. Final hour of the show today. Let's get to, though, a bit of good news, hopefully, maybe, next on The Fam.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Blazer coverage on The Fan, presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years. Guaranteed Xfinity, imagine that. Get to some football stuff coming up top of the hour. Night one of the full preseason slate was fantastic, and I watched a lot of it, so we'll break it all down. Also, a hilarious story about something the NFL is doing to reach to a larger demographic. That is pretty funny, and we'll talk about that and some other NFL. Did you see the article on Fernando Mendoza?
No.
It is one of the... Not surprising in any way. The way he describes things in Vegas is just hilarious.
Yes.
Absolutely.
The QB
hilarious.
Room it's like, in Vegas with him and Kirkers. Both those dudes in Vegas. Now, I think Kirkers, he's a little bit more comfortable. I think Kirkers will have a good time. He'll find a way to have a good time in Vegas without diving into deep Vegas.
Yes. They both looked really good last night. Side tangent. But we'll get to the NFL coming up in a moment. Well, listener saying at the fan text line, now I'm trying to find who they... I'm trying to find who they play. So a listener pointing out, guys, why would you be surprised at the teams that have a lot of national television games? Did you see the list of supposed rivalry games and rivalry week? I don't think the NBA understands their own product and their own teams. And so I don't remember the NBA having a rivalry week, but evidently they do at the end.
Maybe they're trying to do it now.
End of January.
Okay.
Basically, when football season it is at its hottest with the conference championships.
Let's have
rivalry week.
Okay.
I'm trying to find. I don't know if the Blazers play again. Listeners, please help me out on this. If the Blazers
schedule up here.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, why are these games designated Rivals Week? But the NBA,
Which week is it?
It is the 26th, 29th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of January.
Okay. Not with the Wizards.
Well, this is why it's funny. The people are pointing this out of like, why are these rivalries? Some of these don't make any
Golden
sense.
Golden State, okay, proximity.
Who is our biggest rival
at
right
Denver?
Now? Do we have rival?
Well, no.
But we have teams historically that we hate. That's different. Do we have a rival?
No. When the Sonics left, that was
Did we get any? Did we get choppy with anybody last year? Did we have any pushing and shoving that I'm forgetting? Things get spicy.
I don't remember.
Contentious.
Anything.
I don't really remember much either.
No. So Oklahoma City was the Sonics. So I could see somebody trying to do that, but that's not.
But again, that doesn't connect at all.
Nobody
to
cares.
Yeah.
When they came in as an expansion team, they came in the same year as the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are expansion brethren.
Right.
So you could do that. The one that they wanted as the rivalry week or whatever was the Sixers because it's the 50th anniversary season of the NBA championship in 77.
How are
with
we
the
not
Sixers.
Doing something connected with that? The 50 year anniversary of that.
They will, but
okay.
They'll do something for that game. But you know, the NBA for its national TV games, they want the Sixers playing the Lakers and the Celtics and the Knicks.
Right. Some of these make sense. So I pulled up the NBA PR team's tweet of the games they're highlighting in Rivals Week. Some of them you're like, all right, I get it, I guess. Like Denver, Minnesota has been pretty testy in the playoffs the last couple of years. No issue with that. You have Miami playing Milwaukee, so that's not always a rivalry, but you got the player playing the former team. I guess you could make that argument. Some of the other ones on here, though, Cleveland and Toronto is a part of Rivalry Week. Am I missing anything there? Why is Cleveland and Toronto? Houston and San Antonio? Is that just a Texas thing? Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
The Lakers have multiple opponents in Rivalry. They play the Thunder and they play the Knicks. Why are the Lakers and the Knicks a rivalry game? Because they're big markets? That's a great. I did not even realize the NBA was trying to do that. Adam Silver, man. Come on, this isn't that complicated. We don't need to outthink the room here. Is this a sellable asset that we now have? Come on, man. Anyways, I digress. Thanks for the point out of Rivalry Week. I didn't realize that was the thing the NBA did. Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to be a thing. The bit of good news, dare I say, good news, we got yesterday from our fine friends at OPB.
Yeah.
And that is that after all the months and back and forth and yelling and anonymous sources and quotes and we're far apart and that's a non-starter. We mentioned a couple of days ago, we had Wright Gasaway in studio. The city council passes the funding the MOU, the tentative agreement of, you know, here's what we want. Now let's start negotiating. And it came out yesterday via OPB that on Monday, that quick of a turnaround, we are going to get city officials and team officials sitting down for a planned meeting.
Good.
And that was the first thing that I think, because you and I were on a little bit different sides of the spectrum on that story yesterday, which is, I mean, that's one of the good things about a story like that is you can just have different people look at it and have a different takeaway on it, right? One of the things that I would have leaned more to your side on is if we would have gone a stretch of time without any sort of announcement or news breaking on something happening. Like, yeah. If we would have gone 2 weeks and there wasn't a single report on the two sides sat down in a back room and started to iron out details, I would have said, Swag, I think you're onto something here, buddy. This is bad. Now, you might still be onto something because I don't know what that meeting is going to look like and how contentious it will be.
Yeah, is this for show by the Trailblazers?
Right.
Or are they coming to work?
Actually trying to find an agreement,
and
right?
So this is all about, but this is a good first step.
Monday, we're going to have our first meeting. The other follow-up I have with this, and I'm just curious, there are obviously people in this market who have their sources and their contacts both inside City Hall, inside the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
We have seen at times this process play out in a public negotiation in terms of here's an anonymous quote about this as a non-starter, or here's a quote from a city council person, and you get this like kind of media battle. Will we get that in this?
I hope not. Will it be buttoned up? It's a lot of canned. It's a good first step. It's going to be a process. There's a lot of ground to cover. We need to make sure, because this is a long-term agreement, that we try to, you know, plan for any possible contingency. So it's not going to happen overnight, but we're encouraged by the fact that both parties are there. There's good discourse, all of that stuff. If I hear those canned statements, then I know that they're actually working on it.
And something's
trying to come to agreement and work through their individual issues on both sides. And we've seen enough of the messiness of stuff in the public. We don't need to see that here. Everybody's going to have different ideas. But so if I hear those canned, pre-prepared comment statements not giving me anything, I will actually feel good about the process. They're talking, they're working, they're, you know, everything is respectful in the room.
Yes.
Nobody's drawn a line in the sand yet.
This is not being done for social media clicks and highlights in an article.
Little leaks here and there, that means one side's not happy, and they're trying to let you know without letting you know that get prepared.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It would be nice to see most of this stuff stay behind closed doors, with it being a respectful dialogue. And if it turns into a food fight of anonymous sources in the coming weeks, that will be frustrating. And I think your argument will have a lot of merit. I'm hoping that we get to your point, made some good progress. Yeah. You know, even if it's anonymous, you don't have to get public quotes on this. But you know these people are going to talk to the media. They always do. And you're going to get quotes and sourcing on it. And so as long as it remains a tone of like, we're a long ways apart, but we understand where they're coming from. We're sitting at the table. Like, we're trying to find common ground here. It's encouraging that it was scheduled that quickly. The funding was just passed, or the MOU was passed on Tuesday, I think it was, or Wednesday, whatever day.
Wednesday. They're like, okay,
here we go. How quickly can you guys come in?
They finally did what we've been bitching about the entire time is, get your piece of the puzzle together so we know what your financing, what you're prepared to come to the table with.
And what we have to work with.
We'll figure out from there.
So Monday will be the first meeting. Will we get any information from that? I don't know. But if we do, we'll obviously talk about
it. This is one where silence or lack of information is a good thing.
Absolutely. If you don't hear anything for a couple of weeks, but the meetings are scheduled and that's taking place, 100% a good thing.
The minute you hear one side sniping or some backhanded comment through a backdoor channel, it's not good in the room.
Not going to be good in the room. So keep an eye on that Monday, first meeting between the city and the team, hopefully trending towards a deal getting done to keep the Blazers here long term. We have a lot to get to. We're halfway done with the show. It is halftime. Who's going to be our halftime performer? I don't know. We will spring the line at 9:30.
It's not the Jonas Brothers. They're going to Australia.
It's not the Jonas Bros.
That's awful, by the way.
Get your fake sponsors in for Spraying the Line, 503-864-6326. We will spring the line at 9:30 today because we got preseason football. We got to work out the kinks. Okay, it's preseason for everybody. We will talk to Eric Gunderson coming up at 9 o'clock about the Blazers schedule and this idea of a meeting taking place. Also, what are the finances behind the scenes for the Trailblazers? We'll talk to Eric Gunderson at 9 o'clock. We have waited far too long, though. Far too long. Are you ready for a deep dive?
180!
The quarterback controversies, the highlight players, the bust.
Are you on the Mandalorian bus Vegas?
The bust. I love it, dude. Let's talk some preseason football. What happened last night? What do we have to look forward to this weekend? That's next on The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.